My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Quick aside.
We love these.
We'll get back to the Niners. But quick aside. Did Luis Matos just get himself sent down with that performance last night?
What do you mean? Please explain. I mean, all he did was try catch a fly ball. And his center fielder didn't call him off.
He is not in the lineup tonight, which neither here nor there, because a right-hander is throwing for the Dodgers, and so Michael Conforto will be in left field. But according to Robert Murray, the Giants have claimed outfielder Derek Hill. Derek Hill.
Who are you?
Derek
What do you mean, who are you? He's a former first-round pick.
Derek has been playing with the Texas Rangers. Maybe he's an outfielder.
I say he's an idiot.
Well, and then so we designated him for assignment, but I'm a good player. Anyway, Derek Hill is an outfielder, and he bats right-handed. And
nice guru there.
Get the sniffles.
Yeah.
Bats right-handed. And he had 43 at-bats this year, and he got 11 hits. Three of them were bombs, okay? Little OPS of 754, and the Rangers designated him for assignment. And the Giants, moments ago, decided that guy's for us. So they've claimed him.
I got to say something real quick.
What do you got, Lucas?
You guys mess around and call me League Pass Luke, and, you know, it's an appropriate nickname because I've watched a lot of sports.
Sure is.
You know, get the bloop ready, Grandy.
Director of sports.
Play fantasy baseball, watch baseball all across the country here. Watch a lot of different teams. Somehow, I just don't really understand it. All of these guys that the Giants seem to grab off the scrap heap... I've never heard of a single one of them. This Bauman guy with Seattle.
Yeah, Mike. Sure.
This person, I couldn't even tell you this guy's name that they just signed from the Rangers.
His name is Derek Hill.
Yeah, hope he's great. Former first-round pick of the Detroit Tigers, Luke.
Never heard of any of them. It's just so weird.
Out of Elk Grove High School in Elk Grove, California.
Yeah. Shout out Rowdy Tellez, probably a former teammate.
Is a career .232 hitter, a career .615 OPS. But seven times in his life, he has hit the ball over the fence in a major league game.
On purpose.
In 323 at-bats. Seven home runs.
He can steal a bag. Stolen a couple this year.
You're telling me, Luke, you'd never heard of Jackson Reitz before he made his Giants debut this year?
I am telling you that.
Oh, okay.
I actually unheard of Jackson Reitz.
Forgot about him?
Yeah. On purpose. Yeah, on purpose. Derek Hill.
Just one time signed someone I've heard of, Giants.
Well, no.
Why not?
Because that costs money.
Oh.
And I'm just seeing it now, according to MLB.com, I have their 40-man roster, and he is now listed under outfielders with minors next to his name. So they claimed him, and they promptly sent him to the minors, it appears.
I don't think they're calling him up tonight.
But, I mean, Luis Matos, at least for now, appears to be safe.
Safe!
For tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they got a game in 2 hours. I don't think they're sending him out tonight.
Well, there's still time. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Matos, I'm not leaving anything in my hotel room tonight. Bring it with you.
Yeah, it's awkward.
Well, come on.
Well,
they're about to uncork a 7-game win streak. They need people who can hit right now. And they need people who, when Elliot Ramos is running full speed at you, get out the way. Or catch the ball.
See, I don't know whose fault that is. Well, just watching it, that to me is, it's obviously a miscommunication.
Sensation.
And the center fielder's the boss, so the center fielder's got to take charge of that situation.
And for all we know, he did, but Luis didn't stop. And at a certain point, Elliot and Luis both chose to save their own bodies rather than catch the ball. Is that a good decision? I don't know, but somebody has got to duck out of the way.
And both did. They both ducked out of the way.
Right.
And Matos veered so far over from left field that you would figure when you go that far that you have the intention of catching the ball. And Ramos comes all the way over, and if you're the center fielder and you're the captain of the outfield, your job is to take charge and make that play. Make the left fielder know that you've got it. I got it. Mine. Ball. Whatever you choose. And he didn't. And then, so Matos continues to kind of meander, Ramos in late, and then bloop! All of a sudden we got ourselves a rally.
Ball game.
Basically.
No, ball game.
Well, that was the leadoff batter, right? In the
eighth. Ball game.
I know what you're saying, and I had the same experience.
I would have bet every last dollar I have that he was going to score, and he did. Lock it up. Ball game. That's the Dodgers against the Giants right now. Like, it's the eighth inning, it's a tie game, and Kike Hernandez is leading off. I could have told you how it was going to end before he even stepped to the plate. That's the way this goes.
Text to the group was most predictable thing ever.
Completely. And I'm done with it. I'm absolutely and completely done with it. Kike shaking his rear end over there at second base for a hit he didn't even earn. I'm done. That's just like, stop playing Little League Baseball. There's so much of it with the Giants this year. Stop playing Little League Baseball. Stop forgetting to cover first base if you're a pitcher. Stop not communicating in the outfield. Stop swinging at every curveball that's a foot off of the plate. Stop. And stop signing people that Lucas hasn't heard of. It's all Little League.
He's a 28-year-old former first-round pick. Yeah. I think it's a find for Farhan. He might be the key, Mark. There's your trade acquisition right there. I couldn't get it out.
They're pulling in guys on the daily.
Yeah.
Buyers or seller? Buyers. They're just at the dollar bin. Again.
Well,
again,
one man's trash is another man's treasure.
They've claimed outfielder Derek Hill. So he was designated for assignment. Does that mean they've claimed him off of waivers? So that's not going to be a trade. The Giants aren't sending cash or some kid named Spencer. None of that.
It's always got to be a Spencer.
Well, I was using Bob for a while, but then nobody names their kid Bob anymore.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I think those days are over.
Giants have a Spencer, but he's also in the minors right now.
Which actually is kind of annoying, to be honest with you. Why is Luke Jackson still on the team and Spencer Bivens isn't? Bivens gets more outs. I understand that you have to eat money. I get it. But
$4 million would be the eat right now.
Sorry, I'm over here trying to win games.
Greg Johnson's trying to break even.
My bad.
He's on the record as saying breaking even is kind of cool for him. So he's not going to eat $4 million when he can, you know, have him send Bivens and Birdsong out. And, you know, you're able to make a bold move like they did today.
Are Bivens and Birdsong the new Mooney and Looney?
Bivens and Birdsong do Sacramento.
We do yoga.
They go for a walk.
Yeah. They go to Old Town. They go catch a Rivercats game.
Oh, God.
They light the beam. They're in Sacramento, although Birdsong is in San Jose.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Well, only 60 more of these to go. And what was your follow-up text? I want to make sure
I swore.
Well, that was later.
Yeah.
You did say, God, I hate this team with such a passion.
I did.
And then I came back with what I thought was a clever twist based on what had happened with Randy Rodriguez. Randy is not dandy, and you immediately gave me a one.
Well, that was just a horrible job terrible. Of reading the room.
Number one.
I'm over here screaming, yelling, and cussing, and you're rhyming. Randy's not dandy.
I'm a Giants fan.
Dude, if you were here right now, I'd hit you in the face.
I am not in the mood
for Randy's not dandy. Like, this is not okay.
That's why I did it.
Randy's not dandy.
That's why Grandy hits you with, mm-hmm. It's, yeah. Oh, something God. About you makes me, and I think Grandy too, kind of want to poke.
Oh, that's fine.
It was a time to poke.
That's fine.
You gave me a one, and I thought that was generous. I wasn't looking for fours and fives.
Yeah, I don't mind being messed with. That's fine.
Of course,
you're not going to bother me with that. But
and then you did swear later after Lucas sick game, sick team.
Yeah,
what does that even mean?
Lucas? Like, what did you?
Are they sickly?
Anyway,
anyhow,
we're wasting enough time on this.
It's called sarcasm.
Yeah, okay, doesn't really play even on an Android. Yeah.
All right, so. Derek Hill is on the 40-man, and Luis Matos is looking over his shoulder with every at-bat.
And how'd that work out last time?
Because that's great. That's a great way to do it. We'll put the fear of Derek Hill in him. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
It's kind of an ongoing Schmidt show, is what it is, with all these micro moves and young players not feeling comfortable. Like you said, it's just the fundamental baseball part of it where ground ball to the right side, Logan Webb just doesn't cover first, base running mistakes, outfielders who choose not to field the ball to try to get outs.
Yeah.
You have the worst stolen base discrepancy in baseball.
Oh my gosh.
All these little things that add up to losing baseball.
Can't hold a runner on.
Right.
Your hot shot prospect who's been in the minors for 4 years, you bring him up and suddenly he gets here and you're like, oh God, we forgot to ask him to catch the ball when it's hit to him. I don't know, man. It's, you know, some of this gets irrational. I don't want to sound like that, but it's really, really frustrating. So anyway, let's get back to the Niners. This is way more fun. Camp is open and apparently Kyle Shanahan, he tried to get Bill Belichick. He tried to get Bill to come run that defense from the TK show.
I did. I threw it out to him. He loves football so much that you never know what he would. I mean, I can't believe that he's not a head coach of a team right now. I know what I would do if I was an owner. So that shocks me. And the last thing you want to do is insult someone like Bill Belichick. But I know he just loves ball in the simplest form. So I threw it all out to him, like whatever he'd want to
do. DC?
Yeah. I was like, would you be interested? And he was very nice and appreciative, but he politely turned me down. But I think he's helping out his son a little bit. I know is involved in Washington up there and trying to start that help out with Jed Fish and what he's doing out there. And, you know, it could be good too, because I'm sure he's going to be back in the league next year. And I don't know how, and I could be going against him. He could be in the NFC West. So it would have sucked if he came here and then he was going against us every week too. So that's stuff you got to be careful about. But I mean, he's the best. And I mean, I just like talking to him.
Wow. Watch out, Cardinals and Seahawks. Kyle Shanahan predicts that Bill Belichick is going to steal your job coming up here this next offseason.
It's possible, I suppose, but at some point as a head coach who is now 72 years old and
next time the season goes around, he'll be 73. You get to a diminishing returns, don't
you? I agree. I asked Ephraim on Sunday, I go, is he even hireable? And Ephraim goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's Bill Belichick. And I go, I get that, and I get where Shanahan's coming from. Shanahan's 44 years old. He's a coach. He looks up to Bill Belichick. But do young players in the league, do they want to sign up for, quote-unquote, the Patriot way? Like, does that resonate anymore? Especially when you're doing it without all of the bells and whistles that used to make it work. Like, how many players have now spoken publicly about how they're like, dude, it's awful. It's awful, but you do it because you win, your profile grows, and quite frankly, you're not really given a choice. If you're drafted to the Patriots and you walk in and Tom Brady is sitting there and he's like, this is how we do things around here. Like, holy hell, this is how we do things around here. But will that work now? Bill Belichick comes in and takes over the whatever, comes in and takes over the Carolina Panthers. Are you like, well, we better do things Bill Belichick's way? Maybe you are. But I feel like there's got to be something else kind of going on with it. You know, he coached the Patriots the last few years. They were not good. It's kind of the point that I made a little bit earlier. You know, this is one thing that for me, and I know it bothers people, because Houshmandzadeh is not wrong when he says, look, Kyle Shanahan's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So you want to call out a play call in the Super Bowl, be my guest, you're probably right. There's some things you could absolutely call out. You want to call him out for hiring Steve Wilks and then throwing him under the bus? I think that's fair. But here's what's also fair. Around the league, the coaches who elevate all the way to quote-unquote the top coaches in the game, have you noticed what all of them have? They've all got a great, like I mean great, quarterback. Great quarterback. Oh, I like John Harbaugh. Right. Lamar Jackson.
Two-time MVP.
Okay. Well, you know who the best coach in the league is? Clearly it's Andy Reid. Well, that's interesting because he coached for 4,000 years in the NFL before you thought that. And you didn't think that until what? Until Patrick Mahomes. Then over here's Bill Belichick, who had a pre-Brady career and a post-Brady career. And I'm pretty sure that involved more losses than wins. But when Brady was there, he's the greatest coach of all time. Well, what's Shanahan done? Shanahan has largely won with the 49ers with a guy who just got dragged through a Netflix documentary. He went to a Super Bowl with him. Devontae Adams couldn't even play 5 games with the guy.
Yeah, without going off on him.
Without losing his mind.
That's a good point.
So, get on me all you want when I say I would not trade Kyle Shanahan for anyone. Anyone.
Well, TJ Houshmandzadeh talked about how, you know, Niner fans need to wake up to the reality that Kyle Shanahan is one of the best in football. And, you know, you be careful about what you wish for. And he used the old spouse analogy when you get rid of your wife and you realize on the other side of the fence and you try to get her back and she's not coming back and you're left, you know, wishing that you had her back. And that's the situation here with Shanahan is, yeah, be careful what you wish for. Is he the absolute best at everything? No. Is he a guy who comes up short in the biggest game? You can think that.
He has, yeah.
He's gotten there in, what, 4 of the last 7 years? I mean, they've been in the NFC Championship game?
I don't even understand fully what's going on offense. This Netflix thing, it's like, good God, what the hell? Like, Jimmy could not function. He couldn't complete a pass to people who were standing by themselves. When he was here, he went to a Super Bowl. And he won. He won a lot of games even when he wasn't the Super Bowl quarterback. What on earth is going on? And I'm trying like hell to like not let that enter my Brock Purdy brain because, look, is Brock a superstar? I don't think that. I don't think that. Is Brock elevated because of teammates and Kyle? Yes. But is Brock also way better than Jimmy? Yes. And I think the numbers show that. You know, like, he's not dink and dunk, but is he elevated because of what's around him? Sure. To what level is what everybody's trying to figure out? Then again, I don't know if it matters.
It doesn't matter as long as he's here.
As long as Kyle's here, as long as the offensive weapons are here, then this works. And I firmly believe it works well enough. But that is some kind of characteristic to carry around with you in the NFL. I'm the head coach whose team is good, whether we've got a good QB or not. Oh, my God. When has that ever been true ever with anyone?
It's pretty rare. And, you know, a lot of times the quarterback becomes elevated because the team wins and you have a good coach who helps you play better. And I think that's the case of Jimmy Garoppolo. We've certainly seen him go elsewhere and subsequently not play as well. And even Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard, whose careers weren't great here, but they were better here than they've been elsewhere. And Trey Lance, we'll see if he gets another crack somewhere. And yep, he didn't get much of a chance here for obvious reasons. But I do think that we have to keep always that in mind when we talk about the great quarterback rankings. A lot of these guys are so dependent on the coach and the system anyway, no matter who it is, that sometimes we look at quarterbacks in a vacuum and it's not appropriate. It really is who's around you, what's the scheme, and how successful you are.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I mean, all of these things feed one another. I'm not trying to diminish Bill Belichick. I mean, my goodness.
Currently the fifth oldest coach in history, and if he got another job, he would pass Romeo Crennel, 73, jeez, almost 73 and a half when he had the gig.
Maybe this is also a moment in time conversation as well. I'm just like, in America, we're in a little bit of a moment here where people who are well past 70 years old, I'm like, can we not put all of our chips into the middle of that table? Like, so, I don't want to go down that road.
No,
but like, if I'm running an organization, I'm both thinking short term and long term. Am I excited as an organization? I know he's Bill Belichick, but okay, what is he 4 years from now? That's kind of the, like, 4 year, right? You bring someone in, okay, I need a year to get my people around me. Let's have a draft. Let's have another draft. And then let's build what we're building. The process takes about 3 or 4 years. Now he's 78. What?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. That would not, you know, Shanahan says, I'm shocked that owners haven't, you know, ponied up and got him. I don't know, man. I don't know if I would do that.
Especially in a field like that where it's pretty demanding. You're talking about 16-hour days and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort. And also what you said about the post-Brady run in New England where he was unable to kind of get that thing right and he tabbed a quarterback who doesn't look like he's going to be the guy. Mac Jones doesn't appear to be the answer. I know it's tough to follow Tom Brady and tough to follow a legend, but if, you know, Bill Belichick was really the genius, then he probably would have done better at quarterback in that draft.
Well, I mean, he's a defensive guy.
Right.
You know, I know people hang that around Shanahan with Trey Lance, and that's fair. He's an offensive guru. Bill Belichick's not. You know, the Patriots ended up last year. It was like 2 years ago, they didn't even have an offensive person calling plays. The thing got totally just out of whack once Tom Brady left. Speaking of Tom Brady, this is also interesting from the TK show. This is a little beefy, but this is so interesting. We want to play the whole thing for you. Take a listen to Kyle Shanahan talking about reaching out to Tom Brady last offseason, having a conversation with Brock Purdy about that, and why he felt comfortable doing that in what was a rare circumstance last year.
I have to feel very confident just from a football standpoint and from just a relationship standpoint and what's right and wrong, kind of, to feel good about doing something. And I felt very good about that and comfortable. So it wasn't a hard conversation for me with Brock. You'd have to ask him about it. It's not always the best thing that you want to hear. But I thought when I explained it, I looked at it as a huge compliment. You know, after the 2019 season, that was Jimmy's first year as a starter in his career. And he did some really good things. And we almost won a Super Bowl. He was a young quarterback. We had only played with 1 year. And to get a call a couple or a few weeks after that with Tom Brady wanting to come play for us, that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life, because Tom Brady is the best quarterback to ever play. He's who I've watched since day one of when my career started, and that was kind of a dream of mine, and I knew how good he was. But I also knew we had a very young quarterback who had got us that far, and to sit and risk that young quarterback with, I forget how old he was at the time, 41 or whatever, I could just kept thinking, like, what if he comes in at that age, pulls a hamstring, and now I've messed up Jimmy and all that. So it wasn't a fun decision, but I thought for the, not only just that year in the long term, it was something that we kind of mess with. We had to stick with Jimmy at the time. Nothing against Jimmy. But it was hard to avoid Tom. And then watching how that went and stuff, it was tough. And I was like, man, if I ever had a chance again with Tom, that's something I can't pass up. And at the end of the season, when Brock, who we knew was going to be our future, but when he got hurt and no one could guarantee that he was going to be healthy in week one, that he'd for sure come back the right way, there was a lot of speculation in it and no one could guarantee it. I did want to reach out to Tom. Now, Tom was the only guy. I was willing to ride it and risk with Brock's injuries. I told Brock that. I said, Brock, in these 7 games, you've shown us, like, you're not going to be competing with Trey next year. If you come back healthy, it is your job. The only way it won't be your job is if Tom Brady decided to come here and play 1 year. And I told him this like a week after the season, which I felt confident with because he was hurt. There was questions with him. And I was telling him about Tom Brady. And so I just felt very good when I told him, hey, I know we spent a lot of picks to go get Trey. I know you've only played 7 games. You have a bad injury. But we believe you in you, and you are a guy of the future. The only way that won't happen is if Tom Brady comes for 1 year. And so I kind of looked at it as I was giving him the keys. I was telling him how much and saying there's this one outside chance, but I'm going to be dead honest with you. Anything in the back of my head. And that's the only thing in the back of my head. And probably there's not a very high percentage that's going to happen. So I felt like he should be leaving the room thinking, man, they believe in me. Like, the only guy he'd even consider is Tom Brady. So I kind of looked at it as a compliment. And Tom was done. And so it made it real easy. And once Tom told us that, just started counting the days to when Brock could get healthy. We worked really hard with Sam, really hard with Trey, got the depth of our quarterbacks behind Brock well. And Brock did heal up, and he came out and tore it up in training camp, tore it up in week one, and had a hell of a year.
Mm. Okay,
great stuff.
Again, that's from the TK show. I'm sitting here. I don't know if you're having the same thought I am. I'm like, I can't believe he's just telling this whole story. I know it's not the first time that on some level it's out there, but like,
he's laying it out there.
Dudes don't need to do that. Nobody's forcing Kyle Shanahan to tell that story, but he is. And so tucked in there for me is a really, really cool trust level between Kyle and Brock. And then B, you know, when people talk about Kyle Shanahan, like the reputation in the locker room of him being a straight shooter and whatnot. I know this has come up a lot in the offseason. Oh, you know, guys are sick and tired of Kyle Shanahan. They're not taking this crap anymore and losing and not calling the right play and all this. My perception of what I've been told is that while football locker rooms always carry some frustration, I'm sure Brandon Ayuk is feeling that right now. Like, Kyle is largely very well-liked, very appreciated for how straightforward he is. And there it is, right there.
There it is.
He's sharing it, and the fact that he's sharing that he did that. He didn't have to do that with Brock.
He went to him a week after the NFC Championship game where he gets hurt and tells him exactly what's going on. You're the guy. You don't have to compete with Trey, except there is this one thing. Guy named Tom Brady. If we can get Tom Brady to come here, well then, Brock, you're going to be the backup, most likely. And we're not going to have Tom Brady be your backup. But other than that, you're the guy. Go ahead and get better. And when they find out from Tom that Tom's not coming, he's not going to come out of retirement, well then you go to Brock and you say, all right, get well soon. I love the fact that he was so frank with exactly what went on. And the first time he tried to get Tom after Jimmy's rookie year and stuff, and, you know, Jimmy played well. He's a young quarterback and stuff. But Kyle was saying that, you know, ever since he came in the league, he kind of had wanted to be working with Tom Brady. And so when he had that chance, you had to go out there and try to make that happen.
Do you remember the story that came out after the whole, like, the idea of the Niners going after Tom Brady when he was available and the Niners had just been to the Super Bowl? That's well documented. But who called who was not necessarily always well documented. And then, do you remember the story where Brady, and this was an unnamed team, but Brady did not end up getting the gig with a certain team and was quoted as being like, you're going to go with that guy over me? Do you remember that story?
I do, yeah.
I mean, it's clearly the Niners now, right? Like, he says Tom wanted to come to us. Tom called us and wanted to come. And I thought about it, and I turned it down because it might ruin Jimmy, and we'd just been to the Super Bowl. And it made me immediately go, oh, well, there's that story. Tom, who knows Jimmy as well as anyone, they were teammates. That's probably true. He probably went to Kyle and went, you're sticking with that guy over me?
Well, he just led us to the Super Bowl and stuff, and I feel like, you know, he's a young quarterback, and, you know, he had him under contract for a long time, and you didn't want to ruin Jimmy for maybe 1 year of Tom, wow. And Tom goes to Tampa, and how'd that work out for you, Brady?
Listen, I can't rip it because I was of the same mind. Remember, Tom was coming off a very unimpressive year in New England. The Niners had just been to the Super Bowl. I know Jimmy's not perfect, but at that time, I'm thinking, why on earth... Why would you derail what you've got going on with the Niners
for a 42-year-old Brady?
For a 42-year-old guy who really looked like he was declining. And then, of course, you know, a year later, there he is holding the trophy again, throwing it into the ocean with people.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It is.
Such a crazy story, man.
And tip of the cap to Tim Kawakami and the TK Pod to have the relationship with Kyle Shanahan to where Shanahan would be that comfortable to tell the story like that.
Yep.
Because Kyle really has nothing to gain. I mean, Tom Brady went elsewhere and won a Super Bowl. You stuck with Jimmy. It didn't work out. And yeah, you drafted Brock, and Brock's worked out, and you made it to the Super Bowl. But still, Kyle hasn't yet gotten to the spot in his career where he can totally be comfortable with telling the truth. I mean, he still hasn't won a Super Bowl. Yet he feels comfortable enough with Kyle to tell that story. I'm impressed.
Well, and let's talk further about the quarterback situation. I sort of said this already today. I want to say this without sounding like I'm taking a shot at Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid's a phenomenal coach. But the fact that, like, you're not even allowed to have a conversation about who the best coach is in the NFL right now without starting with him. It's like, okay, put that over there. It's Andy Reid. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. Andy Reid obviously deserves to be in the conversation. But somewhere along the road, there's some BS tucked into this whole thing, too. There's completely some bit like Andy Reid has some sort of cognitive, connective ability with his players that nobody else in the league has. He's just the most brilliant play caller. Or does he have the best player? Like, he's got the best player. He was never that guy prior to having Patrick Mahomes. And now he does. So all of these things blend together. There's a little of this and a little of that. I'm not like dismissing any one side of the point entirely, but this idea that Andy Reid is on a completely different planet, I think is crazy, which makes me want to look at some other coaches and go, what would they be doing right now if they were getting that kind of production at quarterback? Now, I don't think the Niners have that. I don't think anybody has that. But I will argue that Kyle Shanahan, supposed quarterback whisperer, in all of his years with the 49ers, I'd argue that the camp that opens today is on paper the best situation he's ever had at that position. Brock Purdy, better than all the other QBs he's had with the Niners, and Brock Purdy this time is solidified and healthy. So to me, this is position A as far as that. And he talked about that also on the TK show. Here's that.
It was different. It was so much more relaxing when that position is established. You know exactly where you're going at the position. That guy's healthy. You're just working to constantly get better each day. And that's the fun part about coaching now. I wish I could say it makes it a lot more relaxing and everything is chill after that. But no, it just allows you to focus on all the other stuff. And there's always a ton of stuff that happens in the offseason. But to have the quarterback position established and to have a year where he is healthy and going into this, it's been very nice and it was needed.
Okay, that was actually podium, not TK show, but the point remains. Like, that's something that I don't think we've talked about at all that puts the Niners in a position this year, in theory, got a lot of ways, you know, a lot of games to go play, but they're in a position now that they've kind of never been in before.
Yeah, you don't have to start from square one. You've got a quarterback who's coming off a year, a full year, a healthy year, a Super Bowl year, and now you get to start from square 8 or square 15, wherever you feel like you need to pick it up. And most of the skill guys that you had last year are back. I know you're always going to have, you know, a couple young receivers, new tight end, a running back, whatever. Those are depth pieces, but you get Christian and George, you get Debo and Brandon and Kyle and Trent and all the fellas, they're all back. So your offensive unit doesn't have to start from square one. That's a huge advantage for a coach and for an offensive group that is looking to do more things, new things, and creative things.
All right, for those of you that are just hopping in the car after a day of work and maybe don't know exactly what's taking place at Niners camp today. No surprise that a good, healthy portion of the conversation, as John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media for the first time in some time, was all about Brandon Ayuk. So let's let you hear exactly what John Lynch had to say. This is another exchange, Kawakami doing the questioning here. But this is on if Ayuk has reported and what is the state of the negotiations.
Has Ayuk reported? Do you expect him to report? He hasn't.
Well, the actual, they still have another hour and change, you know, until, so I don't know if he is here, but we expect all our players to report and be here.
Any understanding with him that you will continue to negotiate? Is there any, like, to get?
We've had great communication. You know, we started this really early. We made it a priority to try to get done. We've had excellent communication throughout. You know, really don't want to characterize. We haven't been able to, and that's a shame, but, you know, we're Brandon's a big part of our team, and we expect that he will be this year.
All right. Again, I pointed out to me the most important two words of that whole thing were the last two when he says this year. Brandon's a big part of our team. We expect that to be the case again this year. This year. That's all you're going to hear the Niners cop to at this point. And now that we've arrived at this point, I think that's all they should do.
Right. I mean, camp starts tomorrow. I mean, I know today was the report day, and he reported, and so tomorrow you hit the field for practice, and don't know if he'll be on the field or not, if he's going to hold in, or if they're going to slow play him and let him get out on the field next week. All of that is just in the details, but the bottom line is he's under contract, and camp is beginning. So go ahead, number 11, get out there and play football, and best of luck to you and to us, and hopefully this can all work out. I don't know how much negotiating is going to go on between now and February. That, to me, would be a bigger distraction than Brandon Ayuk playing on his fifth-year deal.
I agree. Yeah, I think this thing's cooked.
Agreed.
I think both people put cement on their feet, and it's not going anywhere. And it's just now it's a matter of can you handle it. Now it's a matter of can you handle it. And I think the 49ers can, and yeah. I'm not sure about Brandon.
Well,
see.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, who joined us earlier, Brandon Ayuk's personal coach, was kind of intimating that he has to be able to go out there and handle it. But there will be ups and downs, no doubt, as it would be if you were in a situation, if you were coming to the show and you had an unsettled contract situation. Sometimes it's hard to stay focused on the task at hand.
John was asked if the Niners are okay with waiting into camp each year to get some of these things done.
I don't. I'm impatient, you know, and it's I like going. And I think, again, we've had a lot of really talented players, and it's, you know, I think, you know, put our track record against anybody in terms of getting players signed. I wish it could happen quicker, you know, but I'm proud of our record.
Is there a due date on negotiations?
No date, you know. Yesterday, we'll continue communication and, you know, keep working.
Does the Super Bowl expectation put pressure to get a deal done?
We're trying to have success right now, but always keep in mind of out into the future. And so that's what we'll continue to do. That's our charge. That's that's who we are as an organization. And we're going to push each year to compete for championships and do so, you know, I think in a responsible way. And that's what we try to do. You know, it's been good. It's been good to us. We got to find a way to be a little bit better. And I'm excited for that opportunity.
Yeah, to me, just the overall message that I sort of received today that I thought they really, you know, because Kyle and John, they all sat down yesterday and said, all right, we know what questions are coming. How do we want to answer these? And what are going to be sort of our themes that we want to put out to the public? And clearly to me, one of the themes was, we've got a really good team and a lot of good players, and we've had to pay a lot of people. And at a certain point, that makes this more challenging with each contract that we sign. So it was kind of like they're directing people's attention to, I know what you want us to do, but keep in mind what we've done. So there's this reputation that our drafted guys, we take care of them. And we do. But it doesn't mean that that's an unlimited space. It doesn't mean we can just do it for everybody. At a certain point, it becomes too hard, and this might be that point.
And if this is the point, and you're Brandon Ayuk, you're thinking, what the absolute blank, because he balled out. He had a great year, career year. You need him. They said they love me, and yet here we are, and it's been a reported 2 months since they've had substantial talks on a possible contract. That came from Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet, on Twitter. So if that's the case, if there hasn't been much movement either way since May, that's 2 months, and now camp is starting. So I'm kind of with you as far as the likelihood of this progressing or this getting resolved now, because as we mentioned talking to TJ earlier, yeah, things have changed. The market changed. And so Brandon's ask probably changed. And the team's willingness to pay more than what they're willing to pay, that didn't change. And so here we are 2 months later at impasse. And now you got to play football.
What do you got, Grady?
We're up against it. We've got to take a break here in just a second. But before we do, this little piece of news from Adam Schefter. Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who has been unable to land the type of contract extension that other wide receivers have, is not expected to report to training camp today. So that's where the Cowboys situation differs from the Niners with Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, let's get into that a little bit coming up next, because I do think there are some significant differences between the two situations, even though they're both in the same draft. All guests on 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pause.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Director of sports Lucas Alexander is out on the word optionality. Doesn't like the word anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's not going to like this conversation.
I was, waiting for you to ask me how much that affects the way I'm going to go about using the word optionality.
It's the Warriors' fault.
How does that affect the way you're going to use the word optionality?
I'm going to use it more.
You know,
is optionality actually a word, or did Mike Dunleavy make it up?
It's a word.
It's a word, right?
You know what word I'm totally out on?
What word's that?
Ideation.
Same.
And I'm going to ideate.
You know what that is, by the way.
It's an ideation sensation. Cha-ching!
It's also a corporation sensation, am I right?
That's another buck, and you are so right. We're going to ideate. No, you're going to think. You're going to come up with ideas. Anyway, that's neither here. Actually, it's both here and there.
Yeah.
It's not neither here nor there. Talk to me about optionality, Mark.
Well,
Let's ideate on optionality.
The 49ers have it and the Cowboys don't. That's the difference between CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk.
The Cowboys are up a creek without a paddle because they're going to have to pay Micah and Dak and CeeDee.
Right.
Or none of them.
Right, but CeeDee Lamb, absolutely, unequivocally, must be a part of the Cowboys now and into the future. That is not true for Brandon Ayuk.
Because the Cowboys don't have any other options?
That's why the Niners can mess around with this. I mean, the Cowboys, they could have used a first-round pick on another wide receiver, but they're not going to do that. Like, that's not the... It's also... It's twofold. One... It's the lack of another sort of offensive approach. And then two, it's like the play calling. I mean, the Cowboys are all about throwing the ball. CeeDee Lamb led the entire league in targets last year. Number one. That's what the Cowboys do. They drop back and they throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb. What do the Niners do? Well, they hand the ball to Christian McCaffrey, and then they run an offense where they deliver the ball to whoever's open. And sometimes that's Debo, and sometimes it's George, and sometimes it's Brandon, and sometimes it's Christian again. And it can be all kinds of different things.
75, 67, 65, and 60.
What's that number?
Their catches. The big four's catches.
Yeah.
To your point. They move that thing around. CeeDee Lamb had 135 catches. That's two Niners rolled into one. They do need him more.
The other part about this is that you're right that Dak Prescott's about to get paid. However, Dak has also already been paid. So the Cowboys have already built a team that sort of encompasses a $40-plus million quarterback. The 49ers pay theirs $900,000. But they're about to have to pay the piper coming up next year. So that's why when I look at this, you know, we've had so many conversations about leverage, and you'd think at the same position and coming out of the same draft with somewhat similar production, CeeDee Lamb a little ahead of Brandon Ayuk, but you'd be like, why does CeeDee Lamb have any leverage? He doesn't have any leverage. He doesn't have all of it. He doesn't have a great amount, but he's got a lot more than Brandon. And that's why I am not surprised. In fact, I would have been surprised if Brandon Ayuk didn't report today, because there's absolutely no win in Brandon Ayuk not reporting. It wouldn't have changed anything. And the only thing that would have been in question if Brandon had not reported would have been his own money. Every avenue that a lot of people want him to take or have been worried that he might take, they all lead to the same place. And it's Brandon hucking money out of a car window on the freeway. If that's what you want him to do, then you're right. He's going to hold out, or he's going to skip games, or he's going to purposefully drop balls, or he's going to trip Debo when Debo's run. Like, all of these things, he's not doing any of that. The only person who would lose would be Brandon. CeeDee and the Cowboys, different situation, because that dude is the straw that stirs the drink.
And he is going to get his contract. And based on all the reports I've seen, I'm looking at Diana Rossini on Twitter. Both sides have been in communication, but no deal. And he's standing to make $17.99 million this year on his fifth-year option. So all of the reporting has indicated that there's been communication, and it feels like there will be a deal for CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys before too long. So if CeeDee wants to hold out, and the report date for the Cowboys in Oxnard is tomorrow, if CeeDee wants to hold out tomorrow and even hold out through the week and maybe into next week and maybe even through next week, the sense I get is that they're going to get a deal done and CeeDee Lamb will be into camp. They will excuse all the fines that he's going to rack up, and he might get the second richest contract in wide receiver history.
Well, and he probably at this point deserves it with the way that he's used there. But you also, like, harken back to our conversation with TJ. And by the way, Grandy, are you going to be doing some TJ coming up at 6?
Yeah, we're probably going to hear from him on the second half of the show. We're first going to just play back everything that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said from Santa Clara.
All right, so if you missed TJ Houshmandzadeh in full, Grandy will have it later on in the 6 o'clock hour. You can go to the Odyssey app. You can go to YouTube. You can check out that full interview because it was predictably fantastic with insight into the Aiyuk situation. But tucked into that conversation, do you remember where he said the Dallas Cowboys have been the number one most awful team in the league at handling this kind of a situation? You know what I'm realizing doesn't always work. I know we're suggesting the 49ers do it now, but what doesn't usually work in these situations is waiting. I think waiting gets a really good reputation. You know, just take a breath.
Patience is a virtue.
And wait. Well, yes, you can do that, and you can let things unfold, but also it's kind of like looking at beach real estate and going, you know what, honey? Let's wait till next summer, and let's see if prices are better. Well, probably not. One thing that consistently is going to go up, beach real estate. Here's another thing that's going to consistently go up. Wide receiver salaries, or any salary for that matter in the NFL. Other than running back, it's just going to keep going up. So the longer you wait, the worse it gets. And yes, you can end up in a Cowboys situation where both Dak and CD and Micah Parsons are all sitting there staring at you with comps around the league that suggest the numbers have only gone up $5 to $10 million per year since we first asked you to give us a deal. And you end up in a situation. The Cowboys are in a real situation. They did not improve their team, and they did not take care of their guys.
And the market has gone up, and CeeDee Lamb is going to be a guy who makes more than Brandon Aiyuk would, and that's pretty apparent based on the way the contracts have gone. And the Cowboys need CeeDee more than the Niners need Brandon Aiyuk. Mm-hmm. Now, the Niners want Brandon Aiyuk, and they do need him, certainly for this year.
This year.
And then beyond this year, that all will still be determined based on Debo and Pearsall and all the rest of it. But right now, the Cowboys cannot function without CeeDee Lamb in their offense. And CeeDee knows it, so you hold out, and you probably sign a contract within a week, and he's going to get not quite Justin Jefferson money, but I would bet that he gets the second most guaranteed at signing money.
It's got to be north of 30. It has to be north of 30.
Yeah, I'm not the average annual, sure, but I mean the actual money.
The guaranteed.
The actual guaranteed money is probably going to be closer to 45 or 50.
Oh, which I would
Jefferson
think at least.
Got, well, Jefferson got 58, I think.
Not more. Recent, didn't he?
The actual guarantee, the guaranteed at signing.
I know that, you know, this confused the actual guarantee, the guarantee at signing. Wasn't the reported guaranteed above 80?
Yeah.
For Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. That was the guarantee, but not the guaranteed at signing.
Correct.
But anyway,
I get what you mean.
It's all nonsense.
CeeDee Lamb, I would predict, is going to be north of 50 with his guarantee.
Justin Jefferson's total guaranteed was $110 million. Guaranteed at signing was a little over 88.
Yeah, 88. There 88. You go.
There it is. Yeah.
There it is.
I think CeeDee will be north of 50. Calvin Ridley got almost 50, didn't he? CeeDee's not going to accept that.
Yeah, A.J. Brown got 51.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be north of all that. CeeDee can absolutely claim that right now in this moment he should have the second biggest wide receiver contract in the NFL. No question about it. So I don't know, man. Such a shame that the Cowboys are having problems. I hate it. It's really a bummer.
Well, and it's a little bit of a shame for the Aiyuk Niner situation, because if that contract does land where we think it might, which is, you know, maybe $60 million guaranteed at signing and $32.5 million average annual value, all that does is raise the market a little bit more. Whether you think he's a comp or not, and he's probably not a comp for Brandon Aiyuk, it does move the goalposts a little further out.
It does, but don't you think that the 49ers have arrived at a point, I do, where this is no longer a subject matter for August 2024? And the chance that they're taking which is that we want to give Brandon 26 right now, but he won't take it. The only risk they're taking is if Brandon has a monster year and CeeDee Lamb signs for 32 a year and 60 guaranteed. The only risk we're taking is, well, then that means if we want to sign Brandon next offseason, instead of giving him 26, we'll give him 30, maybe 31. That's really the only, because you could still cut Debo, but you're also opening up the possibility of, we don't have to sign that at all. And Ricky Pearsall is going to connect,
yep,
and we can just let Brandon walk.
The only contract I think that they possibly might sign between now and the end of this year would be a one-year deal to just give Brandon $27 million for this year. That way he can play free and they can feel better about this not being a thing.
Yeah, that would be an interesting sort of like nice thing to do.
And also, I don't
know that they'll do that.
They might if it's going to help clear up their locker room. If this thing's going to linger, shout out the Cranberries, yeah, then like, you might do something.
Like we don't know how hot it is under
true,
the collar.
True,
we don't know. But we do know this. Grandy is about to speak on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And that's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. What Kyle said, what John said, and what TJ Houshmandzadeh said, all coming up next hour. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I do, yeah.
Let's do it again tomorrow. You know, Herm's coming on. Herm's coming on tomorrow.
Hello.
Hello. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.